Are we recording? We are recording.
Hell yeah.
What's up?
Not much.
I'm here with my friend Madison. It's always weird talking to friends right? In a professional manner because, like, that's not how we interact.
Not at all.
And we're currently sitting in my childhood bedroom.
I love it. It's really cute.
On my bed. This is not how my bedroom looked. Mine had heart wallpaper all over the walls.
You had wallpaper?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this house was built in 1997, so the whole house was covered in wallpaper.
Oh, man.
But now it's just tan. The whole room is tan.
It's cute. It is pretty tan. It's a nice shade of tan.
But this is we're sitting on my bedding that I had in high school. It's from Pink. You know, because every high schooler loves Pink.
Oh, that's funny. That explains the, like, what, seafoam green shade going on.
With cheetah pattern.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Pink. It's from their, like, dorm room collection.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Because
I was I'm in college.
Oh, I remember 17. Pink.
Yeah.
Is Pink canceled now? Is that whole thing?
I hope. No, I mean.
I hope.
It's just, I remember wearing it. That's what everyone would wear. And it And it was, like, cool.
It was very cool. It was like that and, like, Juicy polos Couture. With your polo, your collar popped.
Yep.
Or even better, the double polo with the double collar popped.
Yep.
2005, what a time.
But yeah, no, I don't think Pink's doing too well.
Not doing
or Victoria's
so
Secret. I feel like Victoria's Secret is like,
yeah, I feel like that one transgendered comment really,
wait, something happened.
Oh, you
I
didn't
even
hear
know
about this.
About
this. Oh, this was like a year ago. So Victoria's Secret basically said that they don't book transgendered models because they quote unquote can't sell the fantasy. And then Nikita Dragon, the owner of that beauty company I was talking to you about earlier.
Yeah.
She basically made this like clapback video of her looking absolutely sexy as hell, selling the full fantasy and like wings walking down a staircase, like a total basically like fuck you to Victoria's Secret video.
Wow.
And just being like transgendered women can sell the fantasy or whatever. And it just got so much news.
Oh,
and
I'm
pretty sure that
it.
Was what directly led to the fashion show getting canceled.
I didn't even know the fashion show was canceled.
So much has been going on. It's probably
a
good thing you're paying attention to other
canceled?
Stuff.
They had it last
this was
year.
Like, I think this was the first year they didn't have it. I don't really know. I didn't follow the full tea, but that's what I heard.
Oh, I didn't know that. But to me, when I think of Victoria's Secret, it used to be like, if you were like bougie, you got it.
Yep.
But now it's like a little, it's like trashy.
It is a little trashy.
It's not
key.
Really like nice lingerie anymore.
It's not like Agent Provocateur or something actually fancy, or like Dita Von T's lingerie, my personal favorite.
Yeah, I just feel like they're kind of like Abercrombie, like they're kind of on
yep.
their way out.
Yeah, it's like a little cringy moment from the past.
Yeah,
honestly, so much of that time frame was cringy. Like,
yeah,
I've been watching a lot of comedies from that time,
mm-hmm.
and the jokes that they make are so not like, if those movies were made in 2020, people would be like, this is just so offensive and blah blah blah, and back then a lot more like flew.
Yeah. Also, I mean, when you watch things, obviously they're offensive, but they're just not good jokes. Like, if
no.
the butt of your joke is just like calling someone gay, it's
yep.
like, are you really that can you really write a joke if that's the only
exactly.
punchline you can?
And there was like an era of like calling people the R word,
yeah,
and just like just throwing it around in casual conversation. And I watch movies from like 2003 to 2005 and I'm like, oh shit,
yeah,
wow, okay, I guess some progress has been made.
Yeah,
some.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I watched something recently where they just, that was the whole thing of calling mm-hmm. someone retarded. I was
yep.
like
no, it was like a really common butt of the joke back then.
Yeah.
Even in Clueless she says it at one point and I was like, oh,
you're like, oh, okay,
shoot. All right,
I thought we were feminists here.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, I should introduce you fully. This is Madison Card.
Hello, hello.
She does a lot of things. Do you want to kind of...
I do a lot of things. Yeah, I mean, basically, if it's creative, I do it. Recently, I've been acting a lot, been modeling for way too long. I'm actually writing a script with Hannah herself.
Oh, yeah.
So, lol. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to spill the tea on our current project. But yeah, just trying to navigate COVID as an artist. Woop, woop.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, doing the thing.
Ooh,
I mean,
doing the damn thing.
I mean, we're doing some stuff. We're writing a movie. Mm-hmm. I hate telling people that we're doing that because it's just like,
I do too.
Because it's like, everyone's writing a movie. I
know. But we are legitimately writing a dope ass feature length script.
Yeah.
But I feel that way when I bring it up to you. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, like I told my dad, like he's been asking like what I've been doing. I'm like, oh, I've been writing a movie, and he's like, oh, cool. Or how far are you? And I'm like, oh, we're like, you know, we're almost done, and we're, you know, trying to get some pre-production stuff going. And he was like, oh.
He was like, oh, so you're actually writing a movie. Yeah. I feel like people just vamp so much that when I tell people what I do, they're like, oh, yeah. So you like take pictures of your butt and post them on Instagram. And I'm like, no, I'm like a legitimate professional. I also take pictures of my butt and post them on Instagram.
But that's just for fun.
But that's just for fun. that's just for attention. Just kidding. But yeah, when I tell people about our script, they're like, oh, you're writing a movie. And I'm like, yes, that's what I said. Like,
but actually.
Correct.
Yeah, I know. My dad was like, how much do you work on? And I'm like,
a lot.
Yeah, like a couple times a week we'll talk for like 3 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. I was like, yeah, I know.
Why is it that people assume that what you're saying is like either not true or an exaggerated version? And you're like, no, I'm telling you exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. I feel like people do exaggerate.
Yeah.
People really do try to boast themselves up and make them seem like they're doing more than
That's
they are.
True.
And that makes you feel bad about yourself because then you think that they're doing a lot and they're not really.
They're all talk and no like action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but we actually are.
Yeah, we've been working on it a lot since, when did we start? April?
Yeah.
Like,
April.
In the heart of quarantine when we were like, what are we going to do? I can't perform in front of an audience. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we've been doing. We're going to cut to like a year later and we haven't finished.
Oh my God, I know.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, I feel like since it's a feature length and we're, you know, newer on the script writing side of things, it's going to be really interesting to see how long it actually takes because I feel like the writing might be one of the easier portions.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm most nervous about is pre-production and production.
Yeah, I agree.
Getting the money to put it together, mm-hmm. like figuring out what, where, and
I think I'm most nervous about like locations and I'm most excited about casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think casting will be fun. I think filming itself will be fun, but mm-hmm. literally the lead up to like the first day, I think it's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I agree. No, I absolutely agree. And I think it's really cool too to kind of segue into your whole point of this podcast mm-hmm. that we're two girls, two women, excuse me, grown ass women writing a script together, hopefully directing and acting in the film. It's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing as many women in film as I would like to see.
Yeah.
So it's cool to kind of like bust down that door a little bit.
Yeah, it is cool. Also, I feel like we're just going to learn so much.
Because I feel like we already have.
I just don't have experience with actually getting something made.
Right. And I feel like most of our collective experience is in front of the camera, not so much behind and like mm-hmm. the back end, which you don't get as much of the glory and there's so much more work. And I'm learning more and more every day, like how much effort it's going to take to make this film like our vision instead of handing it off to someone else who's going to like change it.
Yeah. 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 I think the thing I'm most nervous about is funding.
So if you have money, folks, our Venmo is. Yeah. Well, and just like navigating that through COVID again, like how do you host a like fundraiser party or like crowd I don't even know
being able to do things to raise money and even reaching out to people because everyone money is tight, you know,
100%. And I know we did our best to like write a low budget film in the sense that there aren't too many locations and stuff, not to give away everything, but even when you have that in mind, making a film that's a feature length with like good actors who are paid and everyone's like, you know, in it, it's a lot of fucking money.
So that's my main concern.
Same. Like, I have friends in LA who made their first feature-length film, did it in the girl's hometown so they could save on locations and stuff, like really did it as low budget as possible and still took out like a $30,000 loan to do it, which it ended up working out great and they made their money back, but that's a big mark. They did. They're incredible.
That's
though.
Kind of
so
surprising
I was never
to
worried.
Make your money back.
I know. They just happen to be two really incredible individuals with, I think, more experience and more connections. But Still, that's a big number, like low budget, still that's being that many figures. Yeah, exactly.
That's a new car.
Dude, for real.
Yeah.
It's kind of overwhelming, but I'm really excited that we're.
Yeah, I didn't even think about we would even make any money from this.
No, me either.
I haven't even thought about
it. I haven't either. I've pretty much like told myself like this isn't a money project. If we do end up making money, sick.
Yeah.
But most likely we're going to spend money to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more of an experience, a credit thing, getting ourselves.
It's our first.
Yeah.
Aw. We get to pop our film cherry together. How sweet.
Hopefully we'll be friends by the end of that.
Oh my gosh, we will be. But I totally feel you. It's like a really long process. I don't think people outside of the industry really understand how long it takes.
Yeah. And
it's
how
like
much
years.
Yeah. And you have to spend a lot of time together and like doing things. Yeah.
I'm sure there are many reasons why a lot of actors are like, I won't work with that person again.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So that we're doing that. Mm-hmm. You're doing other films and
oh gosh, yeah. I've got a lot going on. It's really interesting because when all of this shit went down and the world became crap, I assumed that like art and creative projects were gonna slow down, and so I kind of was like scrambling, like, okay, I'm gonna try and do this on the side just in case, you know, so my bills are paid. And then I just started booking films left and right, and I'm super grateful. I'm just also really flabbergasted that that's happening during a pandemic. I mean, obviously, yeah. Everyone's like wearing masks and they're smaller productions in that the crew is smaller, like no unnecessary people are on set, and it's like we're being safe and whatever. So it's like really exciting to get these huge roles in my career, but it has this tinge of like this weird energy because we can't like go out and celebrate as a crew.
Yeah.
When we're on set, we still have to be apart.
We're like
masks.
Standing away from each other. Like cool, a very, good take.
Yeah. It's a very distanced experience, which normally on set, as you know, people are like become a family because you're basically on set for like 18 hours with the same people and you're slab happy and going crazy. So you have to like get to know each other.
Yeah.
So it's weird. It's really fun. And I'm really, again, grateful. But I never obviously expected that I'd be, you know, booking these huge roles and like wearing a mask and like staying away from people. And it's fucking odd.
Yeah, that is an experience.
It is an experience. And I'm just kind of like really proud of the community, like leave it to artists to figure it out, you know, and still keep
and not
going.
Complain about it.
Totally.
Like some people complain.
Oh my God, for real. It's like, just wear the mask. You'll be fine.
Just wear the mask. We'll get through this. We're trying to do what we can.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you went to a film festival and that was socially distanced.
It was. So we, Devil Red Films, the production company that did Linen, the film that was at the film festival, we submitted to a bunch of festivals, but this was pre-COVID. We wrapped filming like end of February, so it was right before everything went haywire. And so we basically just assumed, you know, festival season's off. Mm-hmm. That's a bummer, but whatever. And then Horsetooth International Film Festival up in Fort Collins really got their shit together and figured out a way to utilize the drive-in movie theater that we have here in Colorado, which super dope piece of history. It's been around since like the 70s. Really, really cool. They made it possible for the festival to go on safely, obviously social distance, masks, the whole thing. And it was so cool to like be in person and doing something in the industry that felt slightly normal. And then we ended up winning an award, which never even crossed my mind. I honestly kind of forgot that they even did awards. And so
I'm just around people.
Right, exactly.
And doing things.
So that was super surreal. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I'm still moving forward, just like with my face covered, which isn't the biggest deal. It's just you're so excited and it feels normal. And then you're like, oh, wait, this is still a pandemic.
Still in a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's awesome that's Thanks. Happening and moving.
It is, yeah.
So you've been working a lot in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You're traveling to do some work.
Which is shocking because, you know, I normally like book the most in Los Angeles, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Colorado's art community has really grown a lot in the last few years, which is a pleasant surprise. When I first moved to LA, I obviously left Denver because it was too small of a pond and I just felt like I had already outgrown my connections or like milked everything that I could. And now coming back, it's like, oh, cool. There's some new of the things. People, yeah, some of the people from the industry in New York and LA and stuff are getting sick of the hustle and realizing that it's actually cheaper to make films here. Mm-hmm. So they're you know, moving their crews back to Colorado, which is really dope.
Yeah, I am curious, just because of COVID mm-hmm. and the internet, just, you right. know, how many people are realizing, like, do you have to live in these huge cities where it's like a rat race and you're like mm-hmm. living in a 500 square foot apartment for like $1,000 right. and like
burning your candlestick at both ends.
Yeah. And realizing that like there's a lot of cities that are doing film and comedy and dance and, you know, all of the things. I'm curious to see like how spread out things start to actually get. I mean, I know a lot of people from LA that a lot of them moved back, but they said that they were going to come back after the pandemic. Yeah. Who knows if that's true? Some of them have come back. Some of them haven't yet. I mean, even myself, like, I just renewed my lease, which was, like, terrifying because I was like,
it's a really cute place, though.
Yeah, I really like my apartment. I'm starting to, like, really make it my own. But I just was like, do I want to be here? I'm like, the plan was never mm-hmm. to leave until like until I was older. Right. And I do like LA. That's the thing. Like, you like LA for the opportunities, mm-hmm. but like
certain aspects of LA are amazing.
Yeah.
And you kind of compartmentalize and ignore the shitty parts until you explode and have to leave.
Yeah. 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 But when there's nothing going on, you're like, it's right. just a shit show.
Well, because like, what can you utilize in LA during a pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, you're just quarantined with, like, you right. know, and in California, especially, like, right. nothing's open. Like, that was the other thing. Like, when I was thinking about renewing my lease, I was like, well, in Denver, like, comedy clubs are open. And there's yeah. and there's a big comedy scene in Denver. There's three clubs. There's three clubs in LA. There's three clubs in Denver. They're open. There's shows happening outside. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening in Los Angeles.
I believe it. I mean, Colorado has done better in general just with everything. I mean, smaller population. It's yeah. a little easier here. But I agree. Like, I don't know what I'd be doing in LA right now. I feel like I still wouldn't be booking. And I still have this weird sense of, like, I shouldn't be working. The government should be paying all of us to stay home so we can just get over this. But obviously, I have bills to pay and whatever. So it is nice that Colorado is open yeah. safely. And I do think that everyone here is like taking it seriously. But I had to move from LA right before this. And so I still thought I was going to go back to LA before all this hit too.
Yeah.
And now, like, if you would have asked me a few years ago, I would have said absolutely location. You have to be in LA or New York, like one of the bigger markets if you really seriously want to make it in your field. And now it's like, as long as you have good internet connection and you're consistent, you don't necessarily need to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'll shift back once things are more open. But yeah, like you said, I think a lot of people are realizing that you can go into smaller markets, save some money, make the same quality of art, and like have a better experience.
And still, if fame is what you're looking for, like,
you can still get that.
Internet exists.
Exactly.
Like,
you don't have to be in Hollywood to be a star anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and most A-list celebrities don't even live in LA anymore. You know, yeah. I feel like LA is where you go until you quote unquote make it. And then you have the freedom to live wherever you want. And the auditions yeah. come to you.
That was kind of what my mentality was same. I'm going to be in LA until I don't have to be.
Right. And then you'll still be in and out, but you don't need to be there like 24/7.
Yeah. And then, but now I was like renewing my lease and I was like, there's nothing going on here. Right. Like, is it worth signing a 14-month lease? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, it's curious you say that too, because I feel like a lot more independent films and like community-based stuff is going to come out because Hollywood's really limited. Their restrictions are really, really high, as yeah. they should be.
Yeah.
However, I don't think that many like big production Hollywood films are going to be coming out soon. Only a few, because they're being really, really careful what they produce. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly not that hard to get stuff on Amazon Prime or Hulu yeah. or Netflix or whatever. Like, people think you have to do that through Hollywood. You do not.
Yeah.
Like, we could make something tomorrow and get it on Prime if we really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more films coming from like the people.
Yeah.
Versus like a company that changes the script and everything and like sexes it up. And you know.
Yeah. 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 So I'm curious to see like what happens if I made a mistake not to move back to
Colorado. You're good. I'm sure it'll be nice and you'll be in and out of Colorado a bunch, but obviously the selfish portion of me is like, fucking move back to Colorado.
I know, even coming back, you know, it's like fall here. It's
so beautiful.
I like went out to dinner with my family. We're like inside eating and like you can't eat inside in California.
No, I'm
like,
sure. I wouldn't want to in California.
And it was like so weird that, things are, you know, more normal. And it's just so nice here. And I was like, did I make a mistake? And I was like, no,
you're good.
I'm still doing things in LA. I'm making it worth the while.
Totally. And you could fill that apartment so easily. It's such an amazing spot that I feel like if you decided to change your mind, you could like get a sublease or, you know, something.
Yeah. But I think I made the right decision. I think I just have to stick it out.
Totally.
Keep with the plan of like, I'm going to be in LA until I don't have to be.
It's a good decision. I mean, I'm so grateful that I put in my time there. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really grateful that at this point in my career, I don't necessarily need to be there.
Yeah.
But I'll obviously be in and out once the world is post-COVID.
Yeah.
So fucking annoying if I hear the word COVID one more time. Like, I'm so sick of this narrative, but people can't just like fucking cover their nose and mouth.
Yeah.
Pussy ass bitches. Clearly you weren't taught that your body was like distracting boys your whole life and like you're not used to people controlling what you wear. Yeah. I'm like, oh, boohoo, cry me a river. I got pulled out of class for this shit all the time.
Yeah. I saw someone post, they were like, if you think wearing a mask is uncomfortable, a ventilator is going to be way more fucking uncomfortable.
That's some hard truth right there. For real, though.
Having a tube down your esophagus. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But please tell me how that piece of cotton is just so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable and makes it difficult for you to breathe.
Also, like, it's kind of a good excuse to, like, keep your face out of the sun and not
get wrinkles. Yeah. Loves it. No, and I would like to add a positive note. Men don't tell me to smile anymore when I walk past them.
Yeah.
They make other comments about my body and my mask and other things because they have to talk to me, but at least they're not telling me to smile.
Yeah. So there's a positive.
Right.
They
still get in my space, though.
Yeah. Now when I go on walks, like, I have, like, a mask on, a hat, sunglasses, sunscreen, and I'm like, I am not aging a day.
Yep.
Like,
exactly. Like, I am perma 18.
Yeah, that's how I'm staying.
I love it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Another positive, anti-aging.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to keep wearing, I was wearing, like, bandanas for a while. Mm-hmm. They're kind of annoying, like, if you have to wear a bandana for a long time, it, like, falls down. But, like, it covers your chest, mm-hmm. you know?
That's a good point.
And your chest can get so leathery.
Dude, and the neck, the old lady neck. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, I might just keep wearing bandanas forever now like this.
I mean, it's going to take a while for people not to. Even when it is, like, supposedly all over and let's say we get a vaccine and it's not just killing people or putting microchips in them or some fucking conspiracy bullshit. People aren't going to just, like, start being normal again.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be years. I've thought that since the beginning, but I was like, there's no way they're going to tell people that right off the bat because people are going to lose their shit. They're going to be like, oh, it's 4 weeks. Wait, no, it's 3 months. Wait, 6 months.
Ease it into it. I honestly think, like, if you're in a grocery store or anything, you should just have to wear a mask forever.
People are fucking disgusting.
I know. I just think, like, we just should be wearing, our population is just so large. Like, we should just be wearing masks. Like, and sanitizing thing, like, I'm like, now,
like, did people not wash their hands regularly before this? Like,
I know,
I was so disappointed in everyone's hygiene.
I know. Or just like how restaurants are cleaning now, and I'm like, were they not,
you weren't
cleaning?
Doing that before?
Yeah.
Or like airplanes, and they're like, oh, we have to sanitize in between every flight, and I'm like, excuse me,
you're like, yes,
you haven't been. That's it just like makes me gag, and I don't really gag all the time.
Yeah
Just, you know, give myself a little whoop whoop.
I'm like, I just feel like we should just be cleaner, like, already.
Yep.
Like, why aren't we cleaner?
Yeah, like, really, this has just taken a spotlight and shined it on areas that are like, wait, that's still a problem?
Yeah.
Why haven't we fixed this yet?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't wash your hands if you take a shit? Bro, this is 2020. Like, I cannot even believe we're having this conversation. Or when they're like, you're going to be locked inside. people aren't like, oh, I'm going to get water. They're like, toilet paper. Yeah. What am I going to do with my ass?
You know, the funny part about that was I already bought toilet paper in bulk. So when everyone was like, everyone's buying like all this toilet paper, like, why do you need that? And I'm like, I was already buying like 72 rolls.
You're like, my closet is literally stocked with TP like that all the time. Yeah. Like,
I'm already, that's just how I live.
Right? Like, what do you do? Buy four rolls? Then you have to buy toilet paper all the time.
Yeah, I just buy it in bulk.
Exactly.
I know. And everyone's like, why do you need all that? And I'm like, it's just easier to just buy it in bulk.
And it's cheaper.
Yeah, it is cheaper.
And it's way cheaper. Easier, cheaper. I was also very shocked by that. I was like, are you telling me that the entire country was off like half a roll?
Yeah.
And just living like that on the edge all the time? I was like, no, that is not the life for me.
Yeah, everyone just had like a roll and like some tissues that they had like in their purse.
I didn't even buy toilet paper that entire time. I was like, we're good.
Yeah. We have it. We already were prepared. Yeah.
Which, how were people just not even... They're living their life way too on the edge. That's too risky for me. That's like driving with your gas light on. It's just not for me.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta have at least a whole container of toilet paper for me to feel comfortable.
I agree. Otherwise, it's just anxiety. You don't want that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, and everyone was buying like... I this is the thing, like, people were panicking buying food, so then you had to, because then there was no food left.
Exactly.
So like, you had to, even if you weren't panicked.
I'm never gonna forget how everyone responded, and I have so much hatred towards the general public now. I'm like, you bitches.
Yeah.
Come on.
And people were buying water, and I was like, the water supply isn't...
Yeah, like the pipes aren't breaking.
I know. It's like, what are we... And then I was like maybe they know something I don't. So I just bought Gatorade because there's no water left. And I don't drink Gatorade. So
it's
just
like
they
were prepping for the wrong disaster. I was like, why aren't we buying like immune boosting foods? Like ginger and garlic and shit like that.
Oh yeah. When I went to the store, like, you know, I'm vegan and all the vegan stuff was there.
See, I had that with the gluten-free pasta. I was like, you bitches left all the stuff that I eat. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know it's gross, right?
Yeah, yeah. All the meat was gone, and then like the little like plant-based section, it was just like stocked of food, and I'm like, this is why people are sick, because it's 100% fucking meat you're eating,
dude. Oh, don't even get me started. It's disgusting.
And yeah, I was at the store, and you know, in LA you expect people to be like more healthy and not so like middle America, but people are buying like jugs of milk. I've never seen people buy jugs of milk in LA ever.
Also, doesn't that like expire pretty quickly if you're going for...
That's
like...
That's what I was confused.
This
one lady in front of me, she's buying like all this meat and like four huge jugs of milk. I was like, do you freeze? Like, what do you do with that?
Like, who eats like that?
I don't know. And I was like, why do you need that cow's milk? Like, are you drinking that
for real? That's just strange, because when I think of like, okay, quarantine, you need to stock up, it's like root vegetables and like freezer food and some canned stuff for the in case, and like lots of rice.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because in my area, the produce section was completely normal.
Yeah.
And then there were certain aisles that were just a ghost land. And I was like, y'all are fucking weird in your choices. Like, I ate like a fucking queen the entire quarantine because I was just smart with my food prep and my veggies and stuff. Like, I did not just like eat canned soup for 3 weeks like it seemed like some people did.
Yeah.
I did do a lot of baking.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, but there was a phase where it was like, if I keep this up, none of my clothes are going to fit in like a day. Yeah, no, it was like way too many cookies, like 5 days in a row. And then I was like, okay, that phase is over. Yeah, we got a new hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, none of the vegetables were gone either. But so I kind of get that people didn't want to touch things.
That's fair. I just cleaned everything. But again, I clean my veggies anyway. Like, these are things I already did.
Yeah. I've been kind of buying vegetables from the store, but for the most part, I've just been ordering it.
Yeah.
From Imperfect Produce, you know.
I love Imperfect Produce. They're the best.
They've been kind of screwing me over, but that's not for this.
They don't deliver where I live anymore, so I have a new one.
Do they deliver in Colorado at all?
They do.
Okay.
But not as far into the mountains as I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know how many cities that they do.
It's grown a lot over the last few years. Like, it used to be Imperfect Produce, and then it turned to Foods, and it's growing a lot. Honestly, so many like delivery grocery things are popping up.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time,
dude. For real. Oh my god, you're also making me really hungry.
You're like, oh, we're gonna get food.
Oh, we're gonna get food before we film Hannah's amazing role today.
Yes. I guess I'm trying to like think of questions on topic for this podcast that I'm talking about.
Fast round of questions.
Yeah, a fast round of what we're actually supposed to be talking about.
Love it.
I guess my first question is, have you noticed, compared to like LA and Denver, mm-hmm. what is kind of like the ratio of like men and women in just entertainment? Do you think it's like the same, or is it kind of...
That's a really good question.
Different.
I think that it's male dominated in both.
Okay.
I think the like perceived energy is that we want diversity, we want more women in film.
Right.
People are talking about it more, but the actual reality is nothing has changed. Yeah. There are not a lot of women.
Just performative.
Yeah, like every director I have ever worked with is a male. ADs and people behind the scenes, like who do sound and stuff, all men.
Right.
The only time I see women on set is as makeup artists, and a lot of times I have men doing my makeup as well. They're like gay men who are fabulous and I love them.
Right.
Lots of men.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of men. Too many men. Which is interesting because they're always like, we want more women, we want more women. But then it's like, okay, then provide space for women, and when yeah. women share opinions, don't be like, oh, they're difficult, you know.
Right.
I wish I could say that Colorado was different and had more women in it than LA, but I think it's relatively equal and just as white too, like lacking diversity in general. I mean Colorado is not the most it's not the most diverse place. At the film festival that I was at, all of the diversity that I saw was from international films. It wasn't from locals. I didn't see diversity in the local films at all. I saw a few token black people, which I don't mean to be offensive, but that's what it seemed like.
Yeah. They're like, we got to have this one guy in it.
Right. Which is, again, pretty performative.
Right.
So I'm glad that the conversation is starting, and I do think that people are more aware of it. But as far as like the action and the opportunity to change it is like,
not there.
It's there on Instagram, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But then, like, actually.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Do you feel like... This is something I am curious about. Like, with... I mean, honestly, with other industries, too. But, like, the tech stuff in film, do you think women are just not as interested in it?
That's a really good question. Because I mean, I'm going to say yes, but only because that opportunity hasn't been provided.
Like,
as a woman, I wouldn't picture myself in that, not necessarily because it's a male-dominated field, but that's part of it. Like, when you don't see yourself represented, especially when you're, like, younger and looking at being in the industry, I think women tend to lean towards being on camera because that's the only opportunity we have. And most of the time on camera, it's, like, getting typecasted as the girlfriend, the whore, the wife. I mean, I've played those roles almost exclusively.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the same opportunities in roles even. Like, for example, the movie Salt with Angelina Jolie, they were trying to cast a male as the lead, and she fought and fought and fought to be the same character but a woman. And it's like, it's rare to see films like that where women have actual character development and we're not just there to, like, highlight a male role.
Right.
So I think more women would, like, you know, have the tendency of going to the tech side and the behind the scenes stuff if it felt more like an option.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do wonder, like, because I'm not
interested in tech stuff either.
I'm like, oh God, I can't even.
I think it's kind of anti the creative brain in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even as someone who does photography, like,
can that get a little technical?
It's some people get really technical with it. And I think I have a little less skill than a lot of other photographers, but I'm more interested in, like, creative, like, shooting.
Right, and, like, creating the whole scene. Like, I feel like your photos are, like, storytelling.
Yeah, you know? that's more what I lean towards.
Technical editing, which sometimes I think technical editing looks like shit, and it's way too much, and it doesn't draw me in emotionally the same way that, like, raw photos do.
Yeah, or, you know, I'll talk to other photographers and they're, like, talking all this, like, camera stuff, and I know, like, what they're talking about for the most part.
Like, you know what your white balance is and stuff like that, but it goes way deep.
Yeah, I mean, and I know some of that stuff, but I'm not interested in, like, all of that stuff. Right. So I just wonder, like, you know, are women just raised differently to not think that way? Do we just not think that way?
Yeah.
Inherently. But as you were saying, just not seeing yourself represented, like, as someone who does stand up, like, if I really think about it, like, I was writing stand up since I was about 15, but I never thought about doing it.
Right.
Because, like, I mean, what, like, Amy Schumer was famous, kind of, then. But
even back then, she was getting so much heat, and, like, you see the very few female comedians, like, yeah, there are a couple, but their path has been so much more difficult, and, like, the headlines and this. You can say anything when you're a dude.
Yeah.
When you're a female comic, you get so much shit. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm a comic. I just dabble in comedy within acting. And I've, like, said some shit that offended people so much. And I'm like, if I was a dude, you would literally not even bat an eye. Like, it's obviously a joke.
Yeah. And it took me a really long time to be like, oh, I could pursue stand-up. Right. I mean, obviously there was, like, other female comics, but I'm younger, so, you know,
right.
I didn't really know, like, Sarah Silverman was, but it's right. still only, like, three. The
few people, right.
And I just never thought that that's something that I could pursue, because I just never thought, like,
right.
I loved stand-up and comedy, but, like,
you didn't see anyone that looked like you or talked like you.
Yeah, my favorite comics were, like, Bill Burr and, like, Daniel Tosh, right. and, like, I just was like, oh, that's a different thing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't even try to do that, because, right. like, there's, I don't see anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot better now.
I think so,
and a
too.
Lot of women are pursuing stand-up. But, yeah, so I do think there probably is a component of, like, women just not seeing themselves in positions of, like a boom operator, right. or, like, you know.
Or hearing, like, horror stories and just not feeling comfortable, like, being behind the scenes, because that is, like, less out in the open. You could perceive that as, like, higher risk,
yeah,
for being in, like, a private room with another dude, which it sucks that we're even thinking about, like, prepping to not get raped at your job and then picking a certain position because you won't end up alone with someone. Like, those are literally thoughts I have in my head all the time.
Yeah.
Or, like, when I tell my guy friends, like, oh, I gotta get gas now because I can't get it tonight, and they're like, why? And I'm like, because I don't get gas when it's dark. And they're like, what? And I'm like, we were raised so fucking different, dude.
Yeah, like, you don't get.
I am on alert 24/7. Like, you don't go certain places after dark. You know, the buddy system, all these things. That goes into filmmaking, too, because, I mean, you know, the Me Too movement, all these things are coming into the light. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really positive thing. But I think it's also maybe contributing to women being like, okay, that fear I had is validated. Like,
Yeah. And I feel like even with the Me Too movement, like, there's a lot of people still, like, I just don't understand people hating, quote unquote, cancel culture, because, like, most people aren't getting canceled. They're not losing their careers. They're
being held accountable for their actions. Yeah, they're being a difference.
They're being held accountable, some of them, but some of them, they're just getting bad press, and then a couple years later,
They're fine. Exactly.
They're not being canceled.
Like,
no one's...
Cancel culture is when someone, like, did some stupid YouTube drama and whatever. But, like, these people, it's beyond that. It's like, they don't deserve their platform because they're fucking creepy.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, after a few years, you know, just lay low, pop back up.
Chris D'Elia will be back.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting. He will be.
He's disgusting.
Especially because so many people think that he just, like, messaged underage girls, and because they just didn't do the research and, like, what happened. You know, he date raped underage girls
frequently.
And I know someone, like, premeditated, personally.
Yeah, like, this is a repeating pattern.
Yeah, and they all have, like, the same story. Yep. So, like, so I feel like a lot of people now, because they, like, they're, like, against cancel culture, they don't even, like, look into, like, people who are, you know,
deserving of that.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
he's such a creep. Like,
yeah,
it's shocking to me that he even
and there's is so given many people that slack. There's so many people that defended him,
dude. And it's so been years. People. Like, this is not new news. Or the first time this is.
Oh, I knew about this.
Of course,
about
you did.
4 years
ago. Like, a lot of people knew. Like, stay away from him.
Yeah, I know. And he's not. People are like, cancel culture. Blah blah blah. Don't can't. And I'm like, he's not being canceled. He'll be back.
He didn't talk shit about someone's makeup line. Okay, he like permanently affected multiple women's lives.
Yeah. And committed crimes.
Yeah.
Like,
that are illegal.
Yeah.
And he should be held accountable. I hate when people are apologists and they're like, oh, but he's so funny. He couldn't do that. And I'm like, you sound like everyone I went to high school with. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
He's also not that funny.
Or, like,
and there's
cute,
other.
Or, like, I just don't understand the appeal to defend him at all. Yeah. At all, at all.
I don't understand with celebrities, like, why straight, like, all these people don't even know them.
They're really shooting themselves in the foot, just, like, putting their neck out there for someone that... The information is out there. It's really easy to connect the dots in his specific case.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, bad guy.
Yeah.
Just even a quick little Google will tell you. It's not that hidden. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, with any industry and with capitalism, he has a market and a platform, and he'll be able to tour because people will buy tickets. And someone would, I mean, I know that he got dropped from CAA, but...
Okay, that's something, I guess.
I mean, he'll get picked up again.
Yep.
He will be, because he'll be able to make money for them.
Which is all they care about at the end of the day. Yeah, it's the dollar.
I mean, going back to just, like, Hollywood, I don't want to talk about Hollywood, and it seems like a very fictitious kind of thing when you Hollywood, but, like...
Like West Hollywood in Los Angeles.
But, like... You know, they talk about Me Too and diversity and stuff, but at the end of the day, they really just care about making a paycheck.
100%. Look at how many, like, racist, homophobic, pedophile, creeper, all of the adjectives we don't want to use for humans in that industry who have been successful for so long, and their peers know exactly who they are and what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. People know.
I mean, Louis C.K. wasn't a secret. I'm literally a no one, and I knew about Louis C.K. Yep.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It's like common knowledge, but people just, like, for some reason brush it off their shoulder as if it's, like, normal, or slide it under the rug, and they're like, oh, but this, so we have to, like, and you're like, what? How are you making all these excuses for this person?
It is interesting because it's kind of, what I kind of think about is with Louis C.K. in particular, I don't want to say this is fact. This is what I've heard. But I heard that, like, Tig Notaro knew about it. But he produced a show for her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, there wasn't... Me Too wasn't really a thing. And it didn't have money behind it.
It wasn't a supported movement.
And I don't want to... To me, I can kind of see, like, her knowing these things. But... For her to be able to get something made for women and for like the LGBT community, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like you do know these things, but
you're playing the game.
Yeah, like, is it worth standing up for these few people and not getting things made that would never be made before?
Yep.
Or,
and that's, like, the politics of all of it that people don't understand. Yeah. And they're like, well, how could they? And it's like, dude, there's so many factors. Yeah. And not to mention how long it takes for people to break into the industry. Like, you're not about to be difficult
she didn't want to lose her career because he was very powerful. And because, as I was saying, like, the Me Too movement didn't have that oomph behind it. Like,
at that time, he could have ruined her.
Yeah.
Like, literally ruined her ability to financially support herself. Like, it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
And again, it's these men in power who hold this power over women, which is why we need more women in film and in the industry in general, because if that was shifted, you know, women would have a different response to this type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think of, like, people who, you know, they kind of get villainized for knowing, but you kind of have to think about, like, well, if they had said something like things that help other people and, like, show diversity in the entertainment industry and then open doors for other people like that wouldn't have happened if they stood up for someone and gotten their career taken away.
You're, like, stuck between a rock and a hard place at that point. And that's why so many people didn't, you know, like, snitch on Harvey Weinstein for so long, because he really did make careers. Like, Cara Delevingne, or however the fuck you pronounce her last name, she really made her big jump from modeling to acting because of him. And he, like, tried to, like, you know, come on to her in a hotel room, and she didn't tell anybody because her only opportunity to jump into movies, you know, again, this is just, like, he said, she said, but she wouldn't have had that same shift, successful shift from modeling to acting if it wasn't for him, which it's, like, disgusting and creepy. But when you've been trying to do something for so long, you kind of are just like, okay, this is part of it.
Yeah.
Which is so fucked up and not okay at all that it's even, like, normalized and common. But I think what people forget is to, like, think of the mindset of these people who are being attacked, because it's like, if you come forward, sometimes it's even worse than the attack itself, because they will like come after you in very, very scary ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, even Kevin Spacey, the whole thing about the conspiracy that he got a hit on his victims that came out against him, because two of his victims are dead.
Coincidence?
Yeah,
dude, it's a lot. I mean, and again, it's crazy because I want to say like, oh, you know, this is the industry, but so many industries across the board have this happening. Like, it's not just creative based stuff. Like, you can be working at like some stupid office and have a creepo boss who like won't give you your paycheck unless you suck his dick. Like, those types of things exist in all industries.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh shoot, we need more women in charge. Always. There was just a really cute cat. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
she's meow.
So good.
Mia,
come say hi, little baby.
Mia. Oh,
we're so cool. We get to do our job with cats.
Oh, you're adorable.
Hi. And loud.
Hi. Oh my gosh. She's like, hi.
Yeah. She has something to say on the topic.
How do you feel about women? Okay, bye.
She says needed a cameo.
Yeah. Oh my god,
that's amazing.
Okay, well, it was good talking to you.
You too.
I know. We have to get going and doing stuff.
Go do a film.
Do other podcast stuff.
Eat some food.
Eat food. Yeah, we need to eat food. That's what we need to leave. Do you want to plug your podcast or?
Hell yeah, I have a podcast now too. It's called The House of Card. And we talk about ways to get into the industry, whether you're a beginner, intermediate, advanced, wherever you're at, wherever you live, just kind of, you know, getting your foot in the door or even finding the door at all. Because as we know, this creative industry can be very secretive and weird. So, yeah, you can check that out every Tuesday because tacos are my favorite. So that's why it's on Tuesdays.
Awesome. And, you know, you're doing stuff.
So much
you're
stuff.
You're doing films or...
Yeah, we're lots writing. Of acting right now and writing. We're going to finish this script and y'all are going to love it.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Yeah, you'll hear more of her.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know. We're writing a film. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Of course, anytime.